your soul. It's never too late to start again. God has made you whole. You are worth loving. You're worth fighting for. You are so deserving.
Red scars deep inside of my chest, where I opened up my heart. So cold and afraid to take a chance, when every chance left its mark. So numb and comfortable, naming all my demons. I was used to feeling low, and I stopped believing I was worthy to be loved by anyone, and closed the door for good. But that was all before you.
Welcome to Season 2 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Join me with my castmates, Veronica Esquivel Winters, Dave Seidel, and Don Warner on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043, right here on Grindhard Radio. This show is all about spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being. We share stories from our lives and our personal journeys to divine health and wellness. We are not afraid to discuss difficult topics from a dynamic perspective and support you on your journey. No one is alone or forgotten. You are a child of light and your destiny is great. Tune in to season 2 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043 right here on Grindhard Radio. Hello, everyone. That was Landry Cantrell with Before You. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 29 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. This is our Season 2 finale. Thank you to the phenomenal music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. You'll be hearing more of my work with them throughout this year and many years to come. This 16-episode, 90-minute-long show will focus on spiritual, mental, emotional health, and well-being, and is the most transparent, vulnerable, and empowering project I have ever taken on. I'll be sharing testimonies and stories from my life, what I believe, and why I believe this way, and I'll be sharing my personal journey to divine health and wellness. We'll be discussing topics like food, relationships, fitness, prayer, meditation, self-love, grace, faith, overcoming fear, anxiety, panic, depression, and so much more. We'll be speaking life into you and your dreams, encouraging your heart and praying for your every need. I'll be featuring my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors throughout the season. Every episode will be available on iTunes. Search Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. I'm so glad to be here with you this evening, morning, or afternoon, depending on where you're tuning in from around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. If this is your first time listening, I am a professional treasure finder. I find the golden treasure that is already in every person and I point it out. I do this however I feel led to in my heart, through my music, voice, creativity, resources, time, philanthropy, ideas, however I want to and feel led to. I'm a receiver and giver of grace. I am very thankful to be living and pursuing my dreams every single day while helping others to live and pursue theirs and being able to reach people all around the world. The title of tonight's Season 2, Episode 29 is Why Jesus is Different. God came to serve you. I'll be sharing about why Jesus is the God I believe in and why this God is different than all the rest. I believe that when people are able to experience who Jesus truly is, it will be easy to believe in God and have faith. It changes our entire destiny for the better. God came to serve and care for you, and everything else flows from that goodness. We'll have a new story time segment, a new Mythbusters segment, a new Who Said That segment, and Dave Seidel brought his final Easy Love segment of the season. I'll be sharing more words of life. We'll be taking another celebration break. At the end of every episode, I'll be taking your prayer requests and praying for any additional needs I feel led to on my heart for you. Throughout every episode this season, I'm going to be giving away at least 2 copies of my castmates, Dave Seidel's new book, 18 Mile. He is one of my favorite authors and communicators, and I know this book about his life and journey to spiritual freedom will really encourage and empower you. I'll also be giving away a couple other surprise goodies throughout the show. Stay tuned in tonight and follow my Facebook and Twitter pages to see when and how you can win. I'll be giving away fun prizes and gifts all season long. I'm always booking new shows and performances. I have so many fun things coming up. I love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, my Power of a Dream tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going into the recording studio soon and again with The Quakes, whom you heard earlier on my theme song. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/Sade Champagne Music. That's GoFundMe.com/Sade Champagne Music. I will be live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Spirit in Soul or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who you tweet me, you Facebook me, you Instagram me, you YouTube me, you email me, you contact me at my official website, IamSadeChampagne.com, and your support amazes me. I am forever grateful unto you. We're going to get right into our first segment, story time. This is where I share stories from my life. People can argue Bible verses and theology with you all day long, but no one can take away what God has done for you. Today, I want to talk to you about why I chose Jesus and what God's love has done for me. As I share many times in my story or one of my life stories, I have always known God since I was very young. I don't know what life is like to not know who God is and who Jesus is. I had a very wonderful understanding and acceptance of Jesus as a little girl. And God revealed herself to me through visions and dreams that I'm living today and through amazing words of encouragement that God would speak and share with me. And I've always been a visionary type of person. And even though over time, my visuals and understanding of God were warped, God is so merciful and so great that God showed me the truth, and God continued to woo me and love me back into my original design. And I'm continuing to grow in the truth every single day, and I'm continuing to be healed and set free and just walking in my destiny in Jesus every single day. So why I chose Jesus? I want to share just a few reasons, about six with you all. There's a gazillion that I could share, but the episode would then be hours and hours long. So I'm going to stick with six today. Number one, Jesus takes away all my fear. Jesus takes away all my fear. I don't know any other God in the world who is able to take away fear, because even though people may say that they're not living in fear, when you get down to the end of it, they are afraid. You know, whether it be one of the biggest fears, being afraid of death, or being afraid of getting sick, being afraid of getting poor, being afraid of no one loving them, the list goes on and on. Being afraid of not being accepted, of feeling ugly, or it can go on and on and on. Jesus takes away all my fear. I don't know any other God who can help me to feel courageous and help me to feel strong in who I am. And it's what's so wonderful about God is that God strips all the power from any bondage, any chain that tries to hold us back, whether it be fear, anxiety, depression, failure, fear of failure, fear of success, you know, regret, bitterness. God sets us free and strips all the power from those things and heals me from deep within. Jesus heals us from deep within. And so instead of now feeling like our circumstances, everything that happens to us is the final say-so, who we are from our inner being is the final say-so. And we always want to live. Because of Jesus, I always want to live. Only God could have done that. Only this God, Jesus, could have done that. For me, when I say God and Jesus, those words are interchangeable. I know it's different for everyone, and that's why I'm only sharing my story and being able to encourage you all from what has happened in my life, because that's all that I can speak on. Number two, Jesus gives me confidence and security. Jesus gives me confidence and security. I don't know any other God or any person in this world who can give us true confidence and security. Jesus is such a secure God. Jesus is the only secure God where he's so confident in who he is that he doesn't mind us being great. That's how Jesus created us, was out of greatness, out of the overflow of love. And unfortunately, a lot of people have a horrible vision and view of Jesus where they think that you can't feel good about yourself. You can't feel secure in yourself because then you're being proud and you're not being humble. But those are lies. If Jesus says something about us, then that is who we are. Jesus gives me confidence and security. I feel so free to be myself. Like I can always be myself, and I feel good about who I am and my life. I don't know any other God in the world who can do that. You know, I don't know a lot of people that are experiencing that quality of life. The wonderful news is it's for everyone. It's not just for me and a few people who say, you know, for a few people that's on the top of the economic, you know, or beauty chain or what have you, but it's for every single person. Every single person is able to receive this. And Jesus is the one who gives us confidence and security. So now I don't have to live my life based on where I've been and what has happened to me and what other people say, but I can live it from God's great opinion of me. And Jesus will always have a great opinion of us. Number three, I can always begin again. I can always begin again. Oh, this is one of my favorite things about Jesus is the fact that every single breath that I take, every single new beat of my heart is a chance to begin again. Honestly, guys, I start over at least 25 times a day, at least 25 times a day. And I've been learning a lot this new year and just every day. And it's probably been a gradual growth over the past 5-6 years of my life. I'm learning what it looks like to take it one moment at a time, just breathe in that moment and just put one foot in front of the other, you know, take care of what I have in my hands today. I can always begin again with Jesus. It doesn't matter how many times you feel like you've cried that day, how many times you feel like you failed, how many times you made mistakes. You can always begin again with Jesus and get back up because Jesus always sees you as you truly are. Jesus sees you just as Jesus is. It says that as he is, so are we. So everything that's true about Jesus is true about me, is true about you. I am no longer stricken with regret and sorrow because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I am no longer stricken with regret and sorrow. Like I can just start fresh every single day. I know that I am forgiven. Every person has been forgiven. I don't have to try to make right the wrongs of my life. I can only do what I can today and take advantage of this moment that I have in each new moment I have. And I know that Jesus is working everything out. Number four, he gives me everything I need. He gives me everything I need and for free. I've heard people say to me before, Shade, God is not Santa Claus. God is not a genie. And I don't tell them this. Sometimes I do. Probably now I would because I'm a lot more bold and courageous. But I say, you're right. God is better than Santa Claus. Jesus is better than a genie. Everything from God is a free gift. It is not because I did something that God gives to me. It's not because I do something or because of karma. It's because God is good and because God is loving. God gives us everything, the very best of himself. God gave us Jesus as a human being, as a person who's fully God and fully man to represent us. We can see ourselves in Jesus and gives us everything for free. God does not withhold any good things from us. I know most of the belief systems in the world and most of religions, all religions in the world, make it seem as if you do something and then this God will do something for you. You do your part and God will do God's part. No, that doesn't even work because how am I ever going to be able to do enough? There will come a time, there will come days where I just won't have it in me. I don't have it in me to live in a religious system. I don't have it in me to follow certain organized religions and within church. I just have to be who God has created me to be. And the good news is God gives to me anyway. I can count so many times in my life where honestly, actually I lose count where God has just given to me abundantly, overwhelmingly, amazingly, for free all the time, whatever it is that I need. And I'm not only talking about money and material possessions, even though that is certainly true. God definitely hooks it up for me financially and material wise, but God provides whatever you need mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, relationally, socially, whatever it is that you need, God will be for you. And it pleases God to be those things for you and to give to you freely and not saying after God gives to you, so what are you going to do for me, Sade? So because I did this, you need to do this. No, God just loves you and encourages you and empowers you. And from that place of peace and freedom, now you can live your life. And it's amazing. Number five, he loves everyone equally and yet uniquely. He loves everyone equally and yet uniquely. God loves all of us the same, and yet God loves all of us uniquely to what we desire and what we need, because every single person was created differently, yet equal, meaning we all carry a part of God, a wonderful, beautiful facet and view of God, but every person is not the same, but we are 100% equal, and so God loves you according to what you need, according to how you respond, and it's unique to you, and yet it's equal to every single person who is living and who was ever born and who will ever live. And it's so amazing because of Jesus, there's no comparisons. There's no hierarchical systems. God does not care about the elitist. God does not care about who's at the bottom. God loves all of us equally and uniquely. Jesus proves that God will never give up on us. Jesus proves that God considers himself to be rich and wealthy in us. Jesus proves that God is bigger than gender. God is both masculine and both feminine energy and presence and person, being, and that's how God has created us, and he loves us all equally and yet uniquely. Number six, and this is one of my ultimate favorites, he is just like me. He is just like me. God is a human being. God is just as much a human being as God is a supernatural being. God is just like us. We never have to live our lives thinking that God is way up here and we're way down there, or that we are not equal, but we are equal to God. And honestly, if you really look at how a family chain or a family system would work, parents actually consider their children to be more valuable to them than they are. Like, a parent will sacrifice their whole life for their child because their child's life to them is even more valuable than theirs. You know, Jesus proves that God values our lives even more than his own life, and God would do anything for us. God is a human being. That means that whatever you feel, whatever you experience, and whatever you have experienced in your life, God can relate. He is so much like us. He sees himself in us. He sees herself in us. And God can relate to everything that you're experiencing. And God doesn't judge you. God doesn't look at you and say, why can't you get it together, Shade? Because you should know this by now. But God is merciful and understanding. And God is with us in all situations. And even think about what Jesus experienced as a human being here on this earth, and how Jesus was picked on and Jesus was abused. Jesus was used. Jesus was abandoned. Jesus dealt with regret and worry and fear and sadness and pain and joy and happiness and peace and health, everything from every end of the spectrum. Jesus is a human being. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I can never imagine another God for me. I never have to worry or doubt, and I know that my life will carry on long after I am here in this body, but that I will live again in a full human body and as a supernatural being with Jesus forever and ever and ever. When people are like, do you believe in life after death? Heck yeah, I believe in life after death. That is my greatest hope. That is my greatest hope, and to be able to know that I'll never be separated from God. I'll never be separated from Jesus. And I can be anything that I desire to be. I can be exactly who God has created me to be and live in freedom every single day. I don't have to worry. I don't have to live my life based on what other people think about me and living in comparisons and thinking I'm not good enough and I'm not beautiful and I'm not smart, and have to beg for people's attention and try to earn affection and just try to make myself be likable and lovable to people. But no, I am loved. I am cared for. And I don't have to live my life based on karma and how much I give, but I can just live free. And so I can give to people because it gives me a buzz and because it's fun. And I'm just so excited and thankful for Jesus. And I pray for every single person who's listening, that if you've never experienced this relationship that I have with Jesus for yourself, I pray that you will know God for yourself. Not only as I know God, but as God has desired for you to know God. I pray that you will have peace. I pray for your spirit and your mind to be overwhelmed by God's grace and joy and love. I pray that you will have the quality of life where you will be able to experience God's grace, experience God's joy, experience life. And I'm praying for you. I know that God has more for you. If you've been feeling overwhelmed and drained by religion, I know that God has more for you and can literally catapult your life in an amazing direction better than you've ever imagined and dreamed. And you don't have to be afraid. God will take away your fear of death. God will take away your fear of sickness. Jesus will take away your fear of anything that has brought you fear, anxiety, panic, pain, etc. in your life. Jesus will bring freedom and healing to you.
Our next segment of the night is Easy Love with Dave Seidel, joint published author of his new book, 18 Miles, speaker, blogger of God Needs New PR, and Christian rap artist who graduated from Caris Bible College in 2016 as he shares the gospel truths which has transformed his relationship with God from hard work to easy love. Hashtag Easy Love to ask him questions and join in the conversation.
Hey, everybody. Hope you've been enjoying my Easy Love series. This will be my last segment for the year, and it's called Recovering Your Sight. So last week, I talked about how acceptable we are to God. I discussed how it usually stems from either not knowing about God or hearing the wrong message about God and what he thinks of us. So the recovery of sight concept kind of ties in with this, being accepted by God. And that there's no test that you have to pass to be acceptable to him, etc. So I'll use my situation again to give a real-life example of what this looks like, to refresh your memory for those who may not have heard or are hearing this for the first time. I'm going through some very challenging, just a very challenging season in my life career-wise right now. I've been laid off from two jobs the last 2 years. I recently moved back to my hometown of Detroit after being away for 10 years and kind of just starting over right now. But I thank God, I have two friends who wanted me to be a part of their teams. The only thing is I need to get licensed to be in their line of work. So there's two exams I have to take. They're very complicated. They involve a lot of studying, and I'm doing them simultaneously. So one during the day and then one after I get home at night, and it's pretty much been my life for the last couple months. So as I'm studying, it's very tempting to think, like, how am I going to do this? It's easy to define myself by previous attempts and think I'm a failure. But as I get with God, I hear him saying things like, I got this, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay and stuff like that. And it's so hard to rest when you know it's going to be a lot of work. So I'm not saying you don't work, but it's the way in which you do it which makes a big difference. I'm not in panic mode. For example, the way I was studying, I just found God show me kind of a different way to be more effective by using flashcards. And that's just one thing, but there's several different things where I find him kind of leading me in the right direction. So I trust that he is doing that and that he'll bring me through this, whatever it is that I'll have to face. So it helps me get back on track as far as my identity and just having hope and a confident expectation in God. So it brought to mind a couple moments in Jesus' ministry that I like to call his mic drop moments. So I'll just kind of share a few of those here with you. The first one being in Luke 4:16-20, and I'll just read it real quickly. It says in the New King James Version, "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down." So this is where I would see him, if it was modern day, just like drop the mic and be like, what, but some background on this. There are a few sources I've read or I've heard that mention, the chair that he sat down in was one that was reserved for the coming Messiah. They'd always reserve it for that purpose. And so when Jesus sat in the chair, it was a message to them that he was declaring himself to be the Messiah. And in the scriptures after this, you see the crowd in the synagogue gets angry and they try to throw him over the cliff, but he escapes. And so it's just a cool moment I just like to remember about him and how awesome he was, this has also been referred to as Jesus's mission statement. Notice it's not a list of do's and don'ts for us to perform. He sees that we're in bondage to something and he desires to set us free from it. Man was in bondage to lies that we've been told about us and God and the sin that resulted from us believing those lies. So this scripture also mentions recovery of sight for the blind. And I don't believe that that's only talking about physical blindness. I think it's also spiritual blindness. It's just the way that I see it. But he comes to help us see who we really are. And we can apply this to every area of our lives. All right. And then the next moment, just in general, I think of is, Jesus being raised from the dead. There's several times that he did this in scripture, but, every time you can kind of just see him coming back, and he doesn't even have to say anything. He could just drop the mic just by being back, but here's a quote from Ray Vella, I believe is his name, that Greg Henry posted in the Gospel Revolution Church Bible study online, referring to this. He said, "Jesus being raised from the dead was a message to all humanity that your sin and death has been conquered. It was a message declaring to the world that nothing could stop God's promise of eternal life, immortality manifesting in your life at the return of Jesus. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." So it just speaks to, again, the awesomeness of God, that nothing's going to conquer him, nothing's going to overcome him, and how powerful and strong he is. So it's just, a good thing to meditate on and think about. Excuse me. So regarding the recovery of sight, there's three quick examples from the Bible that I can just mention here as well. And, if you're interested in them, you can always go and read some more about them yourself. But for one, Gideon is a great example. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon is down about himself and living in fear about the people who were oppressing him. And then an angel of the Lord comes and calls him a mighty man of valor. That's Judges 6:12. And it just reminds me that, there's a way that the world sees you, and sometimes we think about ourselves, and there's a way that God sees you, okay? And Gideon needed a lot of persuading, like myself and many of us do, but he was able to accomplish some mighty feats once, God helped him recover his sight. Another one is Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, we see Jesus call a tax collector down from a tree and basically invite himself over to his house for dinner. Now, in Jesus' day, tax collectors were despised. They were thought to be the worst of the sinners. Also, in the Jewish culture, sitting down to eat with someone was no small thing. So, the world had a certain persuasion about Zacchaeus, but Jesus saw something different, and he was able to change the way he thought about himself. And we see the result of that fellowship very quickly, because he was definitely set free. And the last one I'll talk about here is Mephibosheth. I think that's how you say his name. But he was the son of David's best friend, Jonathan, who David had a covenant relationship with Jonathan. His name comes up in 2 Samuel chapter 9 when David is asking if there's anybody from Saul's household who he can show God's kindness to. Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson. He had become disabled at the age of 5. And when David's servants find him and bring him to David, he says, "Who am I that you would remember a dead dog like me?" But David responds to him like this in 2 Samuel 9:7. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Okay, so Mephibosheth was entitled to this land through the covenant David made with Jonathan, yet he was living like a dog in Lodabar, So how many times do we do the same thing? We think of ourselves like dogs trying to get some scraps when God has called us to a seat at his table. Amen? All right. So that's about all I have time for in this segment here, guys, but as always, I really appreciate you tuning in, and just want to say thanks again to Sade for allowing me to be a part of this. It's really been awesome being able to minister to you guys and allowing me to be a part of this fellowship. So, I'd love to connect with you online and keep in touch. You can always check me out at my website, godneedsnewpr.com, or my new book, 18 Mile. All right, guys, we'll hope you have a great week. God bless.
I want to end these segments with Hawk Nelson's song, Drops in the Ocean. The way that God loves you, how God cares for you, is more than the drops in the ocean. I recently heard this song and it touched my heart so much, and I really, really love it. And the message is powerful. And so I wanted to share it with you guys. Keep listening to the season 2 finale of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio.
I want you as you are, not as you ought to be. Won't you lay down your guard and come to me? The shame that grips you now is crippling. It breaks my heart to see you suffering. 'Cause I am for you, I'm not against you. If you want, look at my hands, look at my side. If you could count the times that say you aren't forgiven, it's more than the drops in the ocean. Don't think you need to say
our next segment of the night is called Mythbusters. This is where we begin to explore and break down long-held beliefs that I believe actually make it hard for us to experience the love of God that was given as a free gift when He created us and through Jesus. Not only can believing lies about God affect our relationship and belief in Him, believing lies can affect how we feel about ourselves and others. We were created to live in freedom, love, grace, hope, courage, boldness, confidence, determination, compassion, clarity, and peace. Myths and lies mess with the flow of our original design. Disclaimer, and this applies to every single episode of Spirit and Soul. I am not trying to convince anybody of anything. I am simply enjoying my life with God and sharing all that I receive with others. And if this is not for you, that's okay. I won't be offended. I will continue to be myself and encourage you anyway. I accept and love you as you are. Tonight's Mythbusters clips are a compilation from some of my dear friends, inspirations, mentors, and favorite speakers, Greg Henry and Rick and Melissa Wood.
But before we take up the offering, I don't do this every week, but I just felt this week to talk a little bit about tithing because, you know, we've confused giving with tithing. And what we've done is we've made giving tithing. And tithing is not giving, and giving is not tithing. And what we've done is we've robbed the church from the ability to give from generosity. We've robbed the church from the ability to give from a desire in their heart to give. And what we've done is we put them under some system where we say, now you give 10% to God. That's you tithing so that then God can then bless you or continue to bless you. Listen, if you really believe that's how it works with God, put that into place with your children. Okay? Have them give 10% of their dinner to you so that you'll give them breakfast. Have them give 10% of your clothes or give 10% of their bed to you so that you'll continue to put a roof over their head. If you really believe that's how it goes with God, that we must give God 10%, and you really think that's what tithing is in order for God to take care of us, then put that at work with your kids and see how long it'll be before the social workers come. You see, when we say it like that, we say, well, I would never do that. But that's what we say God does. And then what we do is we make ourselves more righteous than God. We say we will treat our kids better than he will treat us. And then we don't understand what we're saying or what we're doing. But listen, tithing in the Old Testament had nothing to do with us giving God something. It had to do with God providing us with life. When you look at Deuteronomy 14, when it talked about tithing, it said to bring the tithe into the place where God has placed his name and eat it. You brought the tithe to the place where God would place his name, and then you would eat the tithe. You partook of the tithe. You didn't give it to God, man. You brought it to the place he set his name, and then you ate it. Okay? Now, this was teaching the children of Israel that God was their food for life and not the works of their own hands. If we say God will bless us because we give money, then we're making the works of our own hands our food for life instead of Jesus, whom God said he gave all things to us freely in Jesus. Everything except money. Listen, man, we didn't give God some 10% of our money to get him to send Jesus. We didn't do anything to get God to provide Jesus to us. We didn't give God some offering. We didn't come together and pray enough. We didn't give him 10% of what we had in the world to get him to provide Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. When you look in Exodus 16, when the manna was poured out, it was a picture of Jesus, the bread of life. God was demonstrating to the children of Israel that he was their provision for life, that he was their food for life. And look what God told Moses. He said, take an omer of that manna and put it in the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, in order that this omer of manna would then testify to the children of Israel for all time that I am their food for life and not the works of their own hands. Now, when you go look up that word omer, it's a funny thing. It's a tenth of an epaph. It's a tenth. So God said, take a tenth of the manna, put it in the Ark of the Testimony so that that tenth of the manna could then testify to all the people for all time that I am their food for life. Now fast forward to the New Covenant, guys. What is this thing revealed in the Old Covenant? What does it look like in the New Covenant? Where is the place that God has placed his name in the New Covenant? You and I. We are the place that God has placed his name. He has come and surnamed all of us in the person of Jesus. He has come and called all of us his sons and his daughters in the person of Jesus. So tithing would be for us to allow God to surname us by feeding on Jesus as the bread of life. So if we want to partake of the tithe, let us abide in Jesus and partake of him as the only truth about our life. And then when we feed on Jesus as the bread of life, that's actually what tithing is. That's actually what tithing is. He is our food for life. We are the place that God has placed his name. So if we want to participate in the tithing that was spoken about in the Old Testament, let us abide in Jesus as the only truth about our life and the only word about whether our Father will take care of us instead of our own ability to give some money. So when we think of tithing, let our conscience be washed clean from this carnal mindset of what we do to get God to now take care of us, of what we do to now get God to bless us. And let our minds be filled with tithing, and let our minds always now go to feeding on Jesus as the only report of who we are and what the Father has always thought of us. And let us abide in that word. And again, guess what? People will find something in their heart that tells them they have all sufficiency and they lack nothing in Christ. And they'll find something coming out of them called generosity. And they'll find that just as the Father gave freely when he didn't get anything from us, they'll find something in their heart just like the Father thought. They'll find his life born in them, and then they'll give from generosity because they want to give something freely. Oh, man. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's like the last stumbling block that wants to be kicked over. It's beyond me how we don't see it. So, especially in the grace, we say over here that we don't do anything to get from God, and then we don't see over here that we actually say that we get things from God by what we do with our own hands. That's idolatry. It's idolatry to worship the works of your own hands. So if I say, God will provide for me, God will take care of me, if I do this with my own ability, that's idolatry. That's idolatry, guys. Let our conscience be washed clean of the connection between tithing and money. When we think of tithing, let us think of Jesus as the bread of life, okay? And then, if we find generosity born in our heart and we want to give toward a good cause, we want to give toward something that blesses us in our hearts, then let us give, and let us give out of the abundance that we have, that we know we have in Jesus. Glory to God.
There is no fear in your relationship with God, or at least there shouldn't be. And we've talked about this a lot through the season. Just sometimes in certain religious environments and even many of the churches that are attended today, there has always been this stigma or this idea presented that we should be afraid of God on some level. Now, I know that, you know, people don't necessarily come right out and say that you should be afraid of God, but what about when you screw up? What about when you make a mistake? What about when you, you know, fall into some old bad habit? Do you feel that sense of fear rising up in you, that God is going to get you, that God is going to punish you, that God is actually out to harm you and not help you? And one of the things that Rick and I have desired to eradicate is the idea that we should ever have any kind of fear of God, even that kind of fear. That God is actually a loving God, he is a good God, and that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not the threat of what he would do to us that makes us want to change or live differently, but it's knowing how good he is, how loving he is, and how kind he is that propels us to live a life that is powerful, that is amazing, and that helps us make good choices, that it's God's goodness that leads us to living a productive and healthy lifestyle, that he's just that kind of good, kind of a good God. And I'm not going to go into all of the teaching of the fear of the Lord and trying to understand again what that means. I encourage you, if you haven't read my book, Eliminating Fear, that you take some time to get it, read it, specifically chapters 3 and 4, which really unpack what the fear of the Lord in the Bible actually means. But that first thing we just really want you to get down is that you never need to have fear in your relationship with God. God is love, and that is the essence of that relationship.
I just want to tag on a few things to that, Melissa. Excellent job. Too long in the church, we have, even in society, which is interesting to me, because people who aren't even religious, a lot of times, they'll hold out the, well, yeah, don't make God mad. That's kind of always the last thing, you know, the yeah, but. So we use the fear of God to manipulate or control people into better behavior. And actually, what's interesting is we kind of worship the Roman god Janus, which is, he was a two-faced god. One side was kind of benevolent, and the other side was angry and wrathful. And our reading and our understanding of Scripture, I believe, has been so influenced by this understanding and not actually heeding Jesus' words when he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And how many sinners were uncomfortable in Jesus' presence? That means that would be comfortable in God's presence. How many, I mean, Jesus, prostitutes, tax collectors who were thieves, all the people who were the undesirables and the quote-unquote biggest sinners of the day, they loved hanging out with Jesus, so much so that Jesus was accused of being a drunkard. Like, he was partying too hard because he hung out with the people who were not living, quote-unquote, a righteous or a good life. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you see the Father. I only do what I see the Father doing. So when the woman who was caught in adultery, when she is forgiven and said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, that wasn't just Jesus doing, that was God to do it. God the Father doing it and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think we have to look to Jesus and to see how he represents God. And he's not a two-faced God who is happy one day and angry the next. So again, Buy Melissa's book. She breaks this down. Before you argue or disagree, read the book.
Our next segment of the night is Who Said That? This is where I feature message clips from my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors. These clips are also another reflection of what I believe. Tonight's clip comes from one of my inspirations and my favorite speaker in the world, Bertie Britz. I titled this clip, How God Sees Your Struggles.
I would like to encourage those people that are going through a very difficult time and you find certain things in your life that condemns you, things that you've struggled with for many years and it feels like an enemy and it is as if it's getting victory in your life, as if you're never getting rid of it. You might walk in bitterness towards somebody, unforgiveness towards somebody, and struggling with certain things in your life. And now that thing is actually becoming a wall between you and God. It's as if you don't have confidence anymore, as if you feel, God, you know, I should have been over this by now, but I am not. I would like to encourage you and just bring you a word that can help you to continue to walk with God and to see what God sees about that, and also to have a confident expectation of victory in that area of your life. The first thing that I want to say to you is, the moment you do something wrong and you do it many times, it will definitely have a strong voice in your life. That is normal. It is the way we as humans are put together. We look at certain facts and we look at certain things in our lives and then we come to conclusions. It's as if the human mind and the heart comes to a bottom line conclusion just based on what is happening around us. And since it's something that is in our life and something that we see all the time, it's got such a strong voice to us, especially if it is something that involves other people. In other words, you sit with unforgiveness, or you've gone through a divorce, or you've gone through something very difficult, and you are faced with what has happened in the past all the time, and now it shapes and forms your life. And you just continue to lose your temper, continue to hate, continue to have bitterness, and so forth. And we can put any example in there. We can use any form of substance abuse. We can use anything in there that is a pattern in your life. And that will have, I mean, that system which continues and that is just coming on for years will have a strong voice in your life. And you will feel that this is stronger than me. Now, I want to just bring God's perspective about this. As we do something or sin, if you want to call it like that, or let's use other word because, you know, the word sin many times is not understood correctly and there's a lot of debate about the word sin. But as we walk in the flesh and we see it continually, our hearts will see ourselves united with that thing and as part of us. But that's not how God sees it. The way God sees you, He sees that you are united with Him in Christ. He doesn't see you united with sin. He sees you as one with Him. And since you are one with Him, and this thing is in your life, it is a common enemy. It's your enemy as well as the enemy of God. And the Scripture says clearly in 1 Corinthians 15 that there are enemies of God. And the last enemy to be conquered is physical death. Now, anything that would lead unto death, He would also conquer, which is the fruit of the flesh. He would conquer that and He brings victory over that. Why? Since He has taken away the keys of the grave. He has conquered sin and conquered death. And the sin and death that He's conquered is our sin and death. And now He is busy implementing that victory that He gained in His resurrection, and He's implementing it in the earth. And He, by the Holy Spirit, is establishing His kingdom in this earth, and He is getting all these enemies out of the earth, of which this habitual thing that you're busy with is one of them. Now, it might be, I mean, there can be many reasons why this is a habit in your life and why this is something that continually occurs in your life and why it's part of your life. And the reason why it happens is not always the thing you even need to know. One thing you need to know is the solution. the solution would simply be to see what God sees. And what the Holy Spirit would be doing is He would continually remind you of what you have freely received in Christ. Like this message, for instance. This message, for many people, would be a voice of the Holy Spirit in your life where He reminds you that you are not one with your sin, but that you are one with God. And in hearing that word, as you hear it and it settles in your heart, you find that from that truth, freedom comes. To many people that hear this, it would be the end of the cycle of the fruit of the flesh in your life, because this might just have been the thing that you need to hear today in order to be completely free. To other people, they will have to hear this and something else and something else, and then as this comes together in your heart, you will see the victory that God has promised in your life. So I want to say this to you, and I want to conclude in this way. Never see yourself as one with sin and death. You are one with God. God sees you as one with Him, and He sees sin and death as something that wants to harm you. So you're not standing on sin's side with sin in your life, united with sin, and now you're looking at God. You're standing on God's side, and something is trying to attack you. And God, by the Holy Spirit, through persuading your heart and the work of the resurrection, through Christ ruling in the earth, makes an end to that. What you can have is a confident expectation. Just go again and say and pray to God. Make this known to God. Declare to God how this is not what you want, and that you are available for Him to manifest a changed life in you. Maybe you sit there and you've gone through a very difficult time, and you don't know how to end this hatred or this bitterness or whatever it could be. As you can see, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and showing you a new life. He's not saying to you that you must do that new life. He says, know this, that when Christ died, He died our death, and He died away the old man with its fruit. And as we walk in the revelation of that, the Holy Spirit manifests the new. Just be reminded of that again. What I do when something goes wrong in my life, when I get frustrated or irritated or whatever it is, I simply go and I say, Lord, victory over this is what You have promised me. And I want to just say, I'm fully available for that, and You can bring it forth. I see myself as one with You. I don't see myself as one with this thing that has happened, or this hurt, or this pain, or whatever it can be. I just see myself as one with You. And from there, Lord, You by the Holy Spirit can manifest and bring this forth. And I have seen victory upon victory in my life of things that is not one with me, that is a lie that the things of this world wants to bring on us. We need to remember that if we have something that is habitual in our life, that it is, it will have a strong voice. Know that. It will have a strong voice. Why? Because you see it every day. The fact that it comes again and again and again is a voice, and it will be a strong voice, and it will be a very negative thing that comes your way. So you can know this, that the Bible does not say there is no emotion of guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, there is. You will feel that what I would call the spiritual nerve system say that is not, that's not right. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not God's quality of life. You will feel that. And then you will feel the cognitive mind wanting to jump to conclusions. That is normal. But you will also feel the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart saying, you are one with me. And I want you to know that death and sin is the enemy of God. You are not the enemy of God. God doesn't see you as one with sin and death. He sees you as one with Him. And know that He is establishing His kingdom in the earth through the Holy Spirit. So again, you can stand up and you can look at the situation that you are in. See yourself separate from what is happening, one with God. Envision that, see that, and allow the Holy Spirit to just bring that truth to continue to revolve in your mind. And as that happens, you will find the Holy Spirit bringing forth what needs to manifest in your life by the power of the resurrection. God bless you.
Our next segment of the night is Words of Life. This is where I speak words of affirmation over you, your dreams, your loved ones, and your life. We will be featuring this segment with new words of affirmation every single episode because with all the cynicism and pessimism that tries to drown us, we can afford to hear the truth as often as possible. I believe in the power of words because I have seen negativity, criticism, and discouragement tear people down. I have seen encouragement lift people's spirits and alter the very course of their destinies. What we hear and listen to are what will be birthed in our hearts, and it will definitely affect what we believe, think, and feel. Play this as many times as you need to and allow yourself to just soak in not only this segment, but the entire episode. You are the best investment you will ever make.
Today is going to be an amazing day. God has wonderful things in store for me. I can relax, breathe, and rest in God's goodness today. I know that everything is working out for my good and in my favor. I am powerful. I am strong. I am able to finish whatever I set out to complete each day. Even if I fail at something, I really still won because I gave my all and because I am forever loved, cherished, and adored by God. My identity remains the same. How God feels about me remains the same. I do not live from other people's opinions about me. I live from God's opinions about me. I live from God's rest and from God's grace and kindness. Each day, I am able to share the love that I feel within my heart to everyone who crosses my path. I do not live my life from karma. I live my life from grace. I do not treat people the way that they treat me. I treat others the way that God treats me. I am a powerful person. I do not allow other people's negative opinions to manifest in my life and define and determine who I am. Instead, the love, grace, hope, compassion, victory, effervescence, everything that I am is what lights up a room. I am an atmosphere changer. I am a joy giver. I am a peacemaker. I understand that peace and compassion are power positions. I speak blessings over others and I encourage people wherever I go. Instead of looking for ways to criticize, I am always able to find the gold and treasure within every person. I never allow situations or people to make me lose my cool or to take away who I am, but instead I know that God defines and determines who I am. I don't have to fit in a box or be whom anyone in the world wants me to be. I can be exactly who God has created me to be in my heart. And it's okay if I don't have a blueprint. God and I are figuring everything out together as we go. God has already made me victorious. I don't compare myself and my life to others. I create my own lane and I help other people to create their own lanes too. I am a creator of opportunities. I always see solutions. I always see a way out, no matter the situation. I know that God has my back and I am going to be more than okay. I am a conqueror. I am victorious. I am one of a kind.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 29, the season 2 finale of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, right here on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to my music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. The music from my radio drop is actually by one of my favorite artists in the entire world, India Arie, and I took the instrumental from her song, He Heals Me. Thank you to my castmates, Veronica Esquivel-Winters, Dawn Warner, and Dave Seidel, and all my special guests from this season. Thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Our final song of the season is Hawk Nelson, He Still Does Miracles. Season 3 of Spirit and Soul will not begin until next year. I will be taking a 2-month-plus break from my other regular radio programming and will only have a few special episodes of Sade Champagne Show until our Season 4 premiere is in the spring. Thanks for listening to Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio, and have a wonderful rest of the week.
End of the road, and it's not the one that you would have chosen. When you're at the end of your rope and you're holding on, but feel like you're falling. With every option exhausted, you tried everything you know. You saw light, then you lost it, but there is still hope. Without a doubt, he's already moving. There is not a pain that you hold he doesn't know, and he isn't using. With every option exhausted, you try everything you know.
You are worth loving. You're worth loving. forgive her.